Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
And amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, your book of instruction before leaving earth, let's get to the word. Daniel chapter number one. Daniel chapter number one. If you have a Bible, by that I mean if you have a hard copy of the Bible with pages, you can turn your pages. If you have an iPhone, an Android Galaxy, a Google Glass, Google Watch, something of that nature, Daniel chapter one. If you don't have any of those, it's on the screen, or you can lean over to your neighbor and share with them as well. Daniel chapter number one. As you're getting there, let me share this. Simple questions. Have you ever been stressed or worried or anxious or even confused? Maybe you find yourself being all of the above at times. Are you worried maybe even about your next paycheck, you know, because you've got bills coming and you need to make sure that paycheck is still secured? Maybe it's your grades or diet or bills and deadlines. Repairs are piling up. Debt is piling up. And it seems sometimes like the world is closing in around you and you just can't get ahead. How do you overcome worry when you're stuck feeling overwhelmed? In this new series, brothers and sisters, we'll learn how not to allow our problems to become who we are. You are not what you're going through. In other words, we'll also learn how to rely on God during stressful times. Learn how one decision can greatly change our course for life. So this series, I believe, will be a blessing to us. Daniel chapter 1. Everyone's got it? Say amen. Amen. I'm reading from the New International Version. We're going to read the first 8 verses and then we're going to stop there. Here's what it says. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. That means he came and he destroyed it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put it in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language of and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the service of the king. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. I want to read once again the first portion of verse 7 and then verse 8. It says, the chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. Verse 8 says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. This is the word of God for the people of God. The word of God is already blessed. Before you take your seat, do me a favor. Put a smile on your face. Smile across at your neighbor. Smile across at your neighbor. Do me a favor. High five a neighbor. Make sure they walk. High five a neighbor. There we go. There we go. There we go. Good morning, neighbor. Good morning, neighbor. All right. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, good morning. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're in church today. This morning's sermon is how not to be overwhelmed, but to overcome. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church today. This morning's sermon is how to overcome being overwhelmed. I love it. How to overcome being overwhelmed. You may have a seat in the presence of God. How to overcome being overwhelmed. Will you pray with me? Fathers, once again, I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How to overcome being overwhelmed. How to overcome being overwhelmed. Have you ever found yourself having more on your plate in life than you wanted to have? Do you find that, let's say, a 3-day weekend always seems too short? Do you dread Sunday evening because you know Monday morning is coming? Do you hate the sound of your alarm because you know it's pulling you from your restful sleep and to the tragedy of a troublesome day? Do you not answer the phone because you don't know the phone number and it just might be another bill collector? Do you say a prayer every time you swipe your card because you know you broke? When I'm on your street, just say amen. There are parents who hide in their own bathroom trying to escape the sound of their own children's voice. There are husbands who sit in the car trying to escape the sound of their wives' voice. And there are wives who stand in living rooms yelling loud enough so that their husband can hear them while sitting in the car. There are some who found themselves curled up next to a bottle of adult grape juice just to escape the excitement and tension of the day. There are others who binge watch Netflix just to escape the frustrations of life. There are times in life when things seem overwhelming. I know I'm right about it because according to the American Psychological Association's Stress in America survey, they found particularly in one generation, the millennial generation, they say is the most stressed generation in America. And stress is a huge factor when looking at medical problems such as obesity, high blood pressure, hypertension, diabetes, and heart disease. I'm sharing this because I want to help us live better and more fulfilling lives. Let me see if I can help us make it real. You know, there are these things on the internet, on Instagram or Facebook. They're called memes. And sometimes we see memes and we don't laugh at the ones we see because they don't really talk about our lives. Sometimes memes are a social commentary for our own lives, and the reason we laugh at them is because they kind of talk about us. I chose some to help us understand some overwhelming situations in our lives, and when you laugh, you pretty much know this is my lane. He's going to put up some for us. Here's a couple of them.
When you're so busy at work that it takes 2 hours to finish a 5-minute song, some of us have been there. You've got way more on your plate at work than you want to accept. When you can't sleep because of work stress, but you can't work because you're sleep deprived. There are times when you're so overwhelmed and it just gets confusing with your own life. Next one. It's payday. It says, let's pay some bills. And I'm broke. Some of us have been on that lane. Then you got Debo who says, your bills be like, what paycheck? Some of us are still living in that lane when your bills be like, you ain't going nowhere this weekend. The reality is, brothers and sisters, sometimes they can pile up so much they begin to tell you what you're going to do in your life. Next one, this is really for the mamas. Silence is golden unless you have a toddler. Now, we know we got a couple in up. If you got a toddler, then in that case, silence is very, very suspicious. You need to find out what's going on. If you got a newborn, simply put it this way. Kevin would understand this. How do I put this? You will never sleep in again. The reality is, brothers and sisters, sometimes situations in life can become overwhelming for us. And the reason we laugh at some of these is because it's social commentary on our lives.
So we make do just trying to get by. There are times when in life when things can seem to be overwhelming. What do you do when it seems as though the problems you face are getting the best of you? What do you do when it seems as though you can't get ahead no matter how hard you try? How do you respond when it seems as though the enemy is winning? How do we overcome being overwhelmed? Daniel helps us with this. He teaches us that when we seem as though we are overwhelmed, we have to remember that our God is greater than. Daniel teaches us to remember that our God is greater than. Now, I know many of you all are used to my 3 points and a conclusion. This sermon is a little different, so I need you to just follow along with me, and we're going to go somewhere that I believe is going to be a blessing to you. Daniel teaches us that God is greater than. Daniel is an Old Testament book. It's part of the Ketuvim in Jewish meaning. It simply means the writings in the Old Testament. It's part of our what's called the prophetic books because Daniel is considered a prophet. The book is somewhat unique, though, because it's both prophetic and apocalyptic. Daniel is a prophet and he talks about end times, and so it's kind of hard for people to box Daniel in. But Daniel reminds us in a world where things can get overwhelming that God is greater than. Daniel comes from a people who serve a sovereign God. They've seen God free them from Egyptian bondage. They've seen God give them their own land. They've seen God win victory after victory for them. They've seen God destroy countless enemies. They've seen God move in countless ways. The God they serve is sovereign over and above every other false god. These are the people that Daniel comes from. Daniel would have grown up hearing that his God is higher and better and stronger than every other God because he comes from the people that worship the one true God. But then chapter 1 of Daniel introduces some overwhelming situations. It says that Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians, came into Jerusalem, home of Daniel's people. The people that serve the one true God, he came in and he destroyed it. And if that wasn't bad enough, then he went into the temple and he took vessels from the temple of the one true God, the temple dedicated to the God that Daniel served, the temple of the all-powerful God. He went in there and took vessels out and took those back to Babylonia and put them in the treasury of the temple of a false God. Daniel is in an overwhelming situation. But then it goes from bad to worse. Nebuchadnezzar realized that he didn't have to put people in physical chains if he could simply break them down mentally, if he could get them to lose the value for what they used to have and want what he's giving them so much more. So Nebuchadnezzar sent his officials to find the best and brightest young men and break them mentally, then train them to value something new. Daniel gets picked as one of the best and the brightest. So they train him for 3 years to value the way of the Chaldeans, to learn and to value their language, their culture, their literature. Then they give him a job working for them. Then they wanted him to think like they thought. They wanted him to be a leader amongst his people. If I can simply get the minds of the best and the brightest, I don't have to chain them. I can limit them, and they'll never want what was taken from them. Daniel is in an overwhelming situation. The city of God's people has been destroyed. Artifacts from the temple of Daniel's God has been placed in the treasury of a false god. Daniel is now forced to learn the ways of the enemy and to even value it. Daniel is in an overwhelming situation. How can this be? Brothers and sisters, I have a question for you. How do you respond when it seems as though the enemy is winning? What do you do when it seems as though the enemy has beaten you? What do you do when things become overwhelming? How do you handle it when you know that you are a child of God, but it seems as though you just can't catch a break? It seems as though you keep getting knocked back. What do you do when you've read your Bible, you've gave in church, you've been praying on prayer calls, but you still can't seem to get a foot on the ground? What do you do when it seems as though overwhelming situations are winning in your life? Daniel teaches us that even though it seems like the enemy is winning, God is greater than. Can I show you how? Stress in our body is a way of responding to some kind of demand. It could be caused by both good and bad experiences. When people feel stressed by something or going on around them, the body reacts by releasing chemicals into the bloodstream. These chemicals gives us more energy or strength, which could be good if we use it for good things. But then it can be bad if this stress is in response to something emotional and we have no outlet for it. So that stress begins to impact our body. We begin to find ourselves with high blood pressure and hypertension. We become stressed out and we can't sleep. And all of a sudden, the enemy begins to win. Stress can become overwhelming. Stress has the potential to cause changes in us unless there's some way of resolving it. Let me help us understand this a little bit better. I am a coffee drinker. No, that's not right. No. I am a connoisseur of coffee. No, that's not good. I love some coffee, y'all. My day just ain't right without coffee. If I could make a love song, I would sing to coffee. Coffee and I, we just go great together. Don't tell Sabrina, she's with the kids, but I'm just saying, you know, coffee. If I were to cheat, it would be with coffee. Coffee, we just go well together. There's some of y'all right now, you know, you got coffee with you because you and coffee are great friends. But I love something unique about coffee. Check this out. Coffee, once it's ground up, we know coffee is brown. What we do to produce our coffee, though, is we put coffee in an overwhelming situation. Let me help you understand it. We take coffee when it's ground up, and then we pour an overwhelming amount of hot water on the coffee. And what's unique about coffee is this: it does not matter how much overwhelming hot water you pour on the coffee still retains its coffee-ness. It's still going to be brown. What coffee does is it changes the thing that was trying to overwhelm it. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes the devil will come into your life and he will try to overwhelm you, and if you are not careful, it will begin to change you. But for those of us who are children of God, we ought to be just like coffee and say, though you may try to change me, I will change the situations in my life. The coffee isn't changed by the overwhelming situation, but rather the coffee changed it. our overwhelming situation, Daniel decided not to let it change him, but for him to change it. Let me show it to you. Verse 7 in Daniel chapter number 1. Verse number 7. Can we put verse 7 on the screen real quick? I love this. Verse number 7 says this. It says that among those who were chosen, some from Judea, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the chief official, gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave him the name Belteshazzar. Let me help us to understand this. Daniel's name in Hebrew means God will be my judge. Belteshazzar is a reference to the god Nabal, which is where Nebuchadnezzar gets his name from. And so they're replacing Daniel's reference to his god and giving him a name in reference to the false god Nabal. So it says the chief official gave Daniel a new name, Belteshazzar. Some of y'all have missed it. We are reading Daniel chapter number 1. The chief official gave Daniel a new name, and his new name was Belteshazzar. Go to verse number 8. I love how it says it. Verse number 8 then says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself. We are reading Daniel chapter number 1. Though they gave Daniel a new name, which was in reference to a false god, we are still reading Daniel's book. And chapter number 1 of Daniel's book. And Daniel resolved not to allow his circumstance to begin to change him. In an overwhelming situation, Daniel still decided to trust in God. In an overwhelming situation, Daniel decided to still look to God. In an overwhelming situation, Daniel decided to trust in God. Daniel realized that even though it looks bad, God is still greater than. Daniel realized that his God was greater than what was going on around him. Daniel realized that his God was still greater than the enemy. Daniel realized that even though the city was destroyed, even though the item was taken, even though he was deported, that his God was still greater than. He made up in his mind that he wasn't going to let an overwhelming situation overwhelm him. Daniel decided not to let his problems become who he was. He made up in his mind that he was not going to allow the situation to change who he was. Even though it looked bad, he decided to trust God. My brothers and my sisters, whenever you find yourself in an overwhelming situation, don't let it change you, but you change it by reminding yourself that our God is greater than. Begin to talk to yourself and sound crazy saying things like, my God is greater than this. I know that the enemy is trying to stress me out, but I'm going to change the way I think and begin to tell myself, my God is greater than this. I know the sickness may be attacking my body, but I'll begin to talk to the sickness and say, my God is greater than this. I know the bills may be piling up, but I'll have faith enough to look at them and still say, my God is greater than this. I know it's stressful at work, but I'll begin to talk to myself at my desk and begin to say, my God is greater than this. I refuse to let what I'm going through change who I am. I will look from the hills which cometh my help, knowing that my help still comes from the Lord. I will cast my cares on him because the Bible says he cares for me. I will begin to declare, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Daniel made up in his mind not to let what he was going through change him. He made up in his mind not to let the stress stress him. Daniel teaches us that even when it looks like you're losing, as long as you've got God, you can still make it. Yes. Whenever it looks like you're losing, as long as you've got God, you're still in the game. Let me close with this and I'll be out of your way. We got a couple things else to do. As long as you still got God, you're still in the game. I was hanging with a couple of preachers earlier this week, and we were watching the U.S. Open. So we were watching Serena, and all the preachers were like, yeah, yeah, because we all just knew, you know, she's the best, she's going to win, she's going to beat this girl. We just, you know, we all just knew she was going to win, she's the best, she's going to beat this girl. And we started watching the match, and we were already just declaring her as the winner because, you know, she's the best in the world, she's the greatest, and so we just figured she was going to beat the girl. And so we were watching the first match, and we saw the best, greatest, she's going to beat this girl, but girl beat Serena. Everyone's face began to change. Seemingly lost a little hope. What's going on?
Then the second match came, and Serena was trying to serve, and it just seemed to just not work. And it looked as though the best, the greatest, the one that was supposed to win, was going to lose, because the girl had already beat her in one match. You could also see the frustration on Serena's face because the girl had won the last match. But what was interesting, though, is she had won the first match. Serena was still in the game. And while it looked bad, Serena didn't give up. She just kept on playing her game. Because Serena knew, I'm still good, even if I lost one match. Because I lost a match doesn't make me a loser. And so she kept on serving. And every time she served, it kept hitting the net. And though she was frustrated, though she was annoyed, she stayed in the game. And here's what's happening, brothers and sisters. By the time the second match came, she won. But not by a lot. She just won. But that gave her a little bit of confidence because she stayed in the game. Preachers got a little bit more excited. We high-fived each other. Look, I told you she's going to do it. I told you she's going to do it. Oh, but then the third match came. And in the third match, it got good. Serena just started serving. And the girl had no hope after that. Serena then won 6-0. And she had now beat the girl. Although it started off bad. And it looked like the best was losing. She stayed in the game, and because she stayed in the game, in the end, she won. I'm trying to help us to understand something. We can be in overwhelming situations in life, and at times it may look like the enemy is winning. At times it may look like stress is winning, but as long as you've got God, baby, you are still in the game. God, you can still win. I'm going to call a few witnesses about how staying in the game of God, you can still win, and I'll be out of our way. Moses would tell you, I found myself in an overwhelming situation. I was trapped between the Red Sea in front of me and Pharaoh's army behind me. It was overwhelming. I was stressed. I had the people complaining. I didn't know what to do. So I looked to the hills from which cometh my help. And I heard God say, Moses, don't worry about it. I am the one that spoke to hydrogen and oxygen and told them to join together. And I am the reason the water is there. All you have to do is hold out yourself because I'm still greater than whatever it is you're facing. And Moses walked across on dry ground. I would call Joseph and he would tell you, I had some family situations. My own brothers were hating on me. I found myself in prison because of something I didn't even do. But my God is greater than the prison bars, and I still rose to become second in command. Come here, Job. Job would tell you, I found myself in an overwhelming situation in life. The devil came in, he took my children, he took my house, he took my land, and he then began to attack my body. But I began to tell myself, even in the midst of this, my God is greater than. And I saw God restore to me more than I had when I began. I got one more for you. There's a man called Jesus. He went to a hill called Calvary. They nailed him to a cross on a Friday, and he died for your sins and my sins. They put him in a burial tomb, and death and the devil began to say, we got you now. You came to set people free, but we have overwhelmed you now. Death said, I've got you in my grip. It's overwhelming, and you can't break free. But God said, that's my child, and I'm still sovereign. And he began to speak unto the death, and he broke free from death to break you and I free. My brothers and my sisters, as long as you've got God, you are still in the game. Begin to say to yourself, my God is greater than my fear. My God is greater than my bills. My God is greater than my sickness. My God is greater than my failure. My God is greater than my finances. As long as we've got God, whenever we find ourselves in overwhelming situations, we overcome by simply saying, my God is.